Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Cash and Carry Kitchens. Transform your home with the warmth of an Irish-made kitchen. Cashandcarrykitchens.ie.
First this morning, the number of deportation orders issued in Ireland has tripled since the beginning of the year as the government seeks to implement a tougher policy on immigration. Now, it comes after a significant fall in the numbers of people seeking asylum here, and reports this morning suggest there are plans to increase the use of dedicated charter flights to remove failed asylum seekers from the country. And this comes after a flight in February deported 32 Georgian nationals from Dublin to Tbilisi. Well, to discuss all this, I'm joined now by Roderick O'Gorman, leader of the Green Party and former Minister for Integration, and also Padraig Tobin, the leader of AIMTU. And Roderick O'Gorman, we'll start with you. Good morning to you. Those charter flights I mentioned that the government wants to use to deport people who have failed in their asylum applications. The government is clearly saying this morning that they will increase their use to a projected 2,000 people over the course of this year. Why didn't you do that?
Well, good morning, Claire. Well, first of all, I was Minister for Integration, which is my job was to provide accommodation for those in the international protection accommodation system. I think we're going to see an increase in people who've come through the IP system over the next across this year. As you know, in 22 and 23, we saw very significant numbers of people seek international protection here. They have gone through the system. More investment was put into that system so decisions could be reached more quickly. And because you have more people in the system, you'll be having more people getting both positive and negative decisions. And the key point there is when somebody gets a negative decision, they do have to leave the country. And that's a two-step process. First of all, they're asked to leave. They're asked to self-deport. And if that doesn't happen, the state steps in and undertakes deportation.
But isn't the problem, though, Roderick, that the state wasn't stepping in prior to this? And now it seems we have an uplift in that intervention.
The issue was that we had a significant number of people who were in the international protection system who hadn't gotten their final decision. And because of the investment that was put in, because the system has been sped up, we're now seeing those people reach their final decisions, be they positive or be they negative.
So Jim O'Callaghan is reaping the rewards of the investment that was put in your time and your government's time.
I think the steps taken by the last Minister for Justice are bearing fruit now, both in terms of the deportation, but also in terms of the decrease in people seeking international protection. There is a significant decrease in the first part of this year. That began in October of last year. If you look at the 2024 statistics, at the start of the year, we were seeing some of our highest numbers of people seeking international protection ever, and that fell off from about October. And a key thing there was the improved relationship with the new British government. You'll probably recall, Claire, in March and April of last year, leading into the UK general election, we saw a lot of sabre-rattling, we saw a lot of messing by the then Tory government. That changed very significantly, and that allowed for, I suppose, that kind of key working together that we need between UK and Ireland when we have a 500 kilometre open border between our countries. The two governments need to be working together and not at odds with each other.
But you know what people will see here? The perception of this will be that we have a fall in the number of people seeking asylum by 40% in the first 3 months of the year, and that coincides with this government projecting a tougher stance on immigration. Do you agree that that's a perception?
Well, anybody who looks at the stats for 2024 will see that that fall happened from October of 2024. So those are the stats and they're available for anybody to see. Look, I absolutely understand new minister is in place, has some, I suppose, beneficial stats coming out now and wants to spin them in the way that's helpful to him. Absolutely understand that's politics. But the stats show very clearly the change happened in October of last year.
So he's not doing his spinning.
Well, I think we have to understand why that change happened. And that was because that much improved relationship between the Irish and the British governments. And that shows how closely linked, I suppose, the policies pursued by the two governments need to be. And it also reminds us, Claire, how vulnerable we are, that if a government is elected in the UK that wants to kind of politicise this issue again, when you look at the polls there with Tories, with where reform is right now, it shows how vulnerable we are with our very extensive open border with Northern Ireland. An open border we know we all want to maintain in terms of the peace process, mm-hmm. but that's why it's so important that we have cooperation with the UK government. And there is a risk to Ireland if that cooperation ceases.
Okay. I mean, there was a big focus, certainly when you came into office first in 2020, your focus was on changing the entire accommodation system for people who were seeking asylum. The focus has very much changed, though, it would seem anyway, to faster processing and returns. Do you think this government will run into trouble if they neglect the accommodation side of the problem?
Well, first of all, I fully support faster processing. The fact that people were being left for 5, 6, 7 years in the process in limbo wasn't good for them and wasn't good for our system either. It undermined public confidence in our system. But what I am worried about is there was one line in the programme for government about the issue of accommodation. And right now, because of the system we have, because of this, the huge increases in people seeking international protection we saw in 2022 and 2023 and the first half of 2024, we have 32,000 people in the system, the vast majority of whom are in privately contracted accommodation. And that's not beneficial for the state and it's not beneficial for them. And what I had been seeking to do was to move us to a model where there was far more state-provided accommodation. Gives us better value for money. It allows us to plan where that accommodation is located better and allows us better control over the standards as well.
But this
and we're
seems,
not
yeah,
hearing the, anything from the new government about
but,
that.
But the picture has changed because the numbers who are coming here because they see a tougher regime, perhaps, the numbers are falling. So accommodation becomes less of a less urgent problem that the government might feel they need to, that they can put it on the back burner.
Well, again, the numbers seeking international protection here fell from October of last year. And I'd say that the stats on that are very clear. But we still have to provide the accommodation. And when we are paying for it through private accommodators, it still is a very substantial bill to the state. So what we should be looking at is state-provided accommodation, because whether irrespective of the number of, I suppose, the scale of the numbers, there are always going to be people seeking international protection. And we should have that core of state-owned accommodation, which is better value for money for the Irish taxpayer, but also allows us, you know, to be able to decide, the governments to decide where that accommodation is located, rather than the situation which I often found myself in the last number of years, frantically trying to find accommodation anywhere to avoid, you know, families been left homeless on the streets.
Now, Padraig Tobin is with us as well, TD and leader of AIM2. So do you see it as this government reaping the rewards of investments made and changes made by the last government, or has the policy changed?
Yes, so AIM2 has always said that we need to provide shelter for those who are actually fleeing war and violence. But the last governments were completely chaotic in terms of the delivery of the process. They were so lax. They basically were sending out a message internationally that if you come to Ireland, 80% of the applications will be successful and the applications will take 4, 5, 6 years to process. And then even if you fail the application and you get a deportation order, you are 85% likely not to be deported. And, you know, it was incredible when you think about it. AIM2 PQs showed that, you know, only 15% of deportations were being actioned at the time. And when I asked the minister, could she confirm if the other people left? She said that we can't confirm because we have no exit policy at the airports. We can't prove if someone left the country or not.
Well, let's leave that because we can talk about what happened before. But what's happening today and now, this is the tougher approach, Padraig, that you were looking for.
So we basically said if you keep sending this message out, the numbers are going to keep coming up because people are logical. They will come to the path of least resistance in terms of accommodation. And it's very clear what we've said has come to pass. Now that the government is getting a little bit stricter, the numbers are starting to fall. So there's a direct correlation between how strict the government is and the numbers coming in. And remember, there's a big cost for this as well, because again, we spent €1 billion on asylum accommodation last year. €1 billion, the first time it topped €1 billion. And we know now that about 80% of those who are seeking asylum are not actually, you know, are failing the asylum application process at the first test. So we're actually providing hundreds of millions of euros for accommodation to people who are not asylum seekers, who are economic migrants looking to use the asylum process to come into the country. Now, that's not a good use of money. In actual fact, and you mentioned it there, and I think it's correct, you know, the solution to the accommodation system is actually having a strict system, so therefore numbers fall, and then you can accommodate properly the people who are actually in need. And that wasn't happening up to now.
So the return flights that we're hearing about, and there are going to be more of them we're hearing today. Now, the one that happened in February back to Georgia, that, I mean, I read it again in the Irish Independent today, the cost per person on that plane ran to tens of thousands of euro. I mean, is it worthwhile to pursue that policy if, and you've raised the issue of costs, it's going to cost so much?
So if you have a laissez-faire system, if you have a voluntary deportation system, the costs are going to balloon. And I mentioned the billion euros just for the accommodation there. That doesn't include the money that's spent on the application system. It doesn't include the actual social welfare provided to the system. So actually making sure that the system is airtight, that it functions properly, that it's strict, that it's fair, actually saves money down the line, because it means that you don't have to spend such money on accommodation or the application process or the social welfare that goes with it. And remember, even now, while there is an improvement in the government, 54%, or the majority of the people who are being deported, there's still no proof that those deportations have happened. So we actually need to fix that. We need an exit system at the ports to make sure that people have left. We don't know the amount of people who have, let's say, expired working visas or holiday visas or student visas. We don't know how many of those who have left the country. And actually, one point that Roderick is right about is that the people coming from Britain through the north of Ireland, 90% of the people seeking asylum now are coming in that route. Britain is a safe country. And we still don't have a system whereby we can actually control the flow of people coming from one country to the other.
But that situation has changed, is he right there, since the change in government in Britain?
There seems to be a better relationship, but there's no material proof at all that actually there's any further control in terms of the movement of people from one island to another. And that has to be achieved. And we've said very clearly that the only way you can do that is through an IRC border, in that the island of Ireland is used as a unit in terms of the processing of applicants, and the island of Britain is the same. And in that manner, it is both beneficial to both countries, because both countries can then control the movement of people. But what we're seeing now at the moment is a government that was pulled kicking and screaming just to implement the law. That's all we asked from the very start. Just implement the law around asylum and you'll improve the figures coming in. You'll reduce the costs involved and you'll make sure that those who are actually fleeing war and violence do have somewhere to live when they get here.
All right, Pather Tobin, thank you for joining us. And earlier, my thanks to Roderick O'Gorman. Coming up next, we'll speak to the Minister for Social Protection, Dara Cleary.
Text 51551 today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1.